Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon thing. Oh, Brad doesn't know. There's a signer. There we are. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, on the day that Sam Hardiman had a piece on our new approach about filling in potholes, Jeffrey seems to have gotten two flat tires, which I assume are from a pothole, but I will hear more later. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Even the Losers by Tom Petty. Tom Petty would have been 75 years old today.
Oh. All right, so we got some bad injury news over the weekend. Let's discuss Scottie Pippen sesamoidectomy.
That's the same surgery that Desmond Bane had a couple years ago. But Desmond Bane had his in May, at the very end of a season after playing through pain for most of that season. And so, you know, he was ready to go the start of the next season. This is ill-timed for Scottie Pippen. And so the Grizzlies have not officially put out anything in terms of a timetable. Shams Charania reported, and it's based on, you know, look at the injury history, seems right. It'll be at least a 12-week thing. Hopefully he'll be back for the second half of the season, but he'll be out a long time.
And do we know, is that, I mean, obviously, do we know how, when he's, it's not an injury that you suffer it. It seems like managing pain or something like it. Do we know, was there a moment? Presumably, if he had had this at the end of last year, he would have did what Desmond Bane had done, right? And got surgery last year.
Correct. So no, we don't know, like, what. You know, no one knows, right? We're making stuff up, but it's not like, you know, you stepped on a rock and twisted your ankle. Maybe there was a precipitating thing. Maybe it was something that just sort of developed. I mean, everything starts at one point. Even if you have sort of an injury that's not a impact injury, at some point you don't feel the pain and then you do. And so there's always a point at which that happens. And so, you know, he had been held out of a game with toe soreness, I guess two games with toe soreness in the preseason, and that's all we knew was toe soreness. That could mean anything.
Right.
And so obviously this, you know, from a toe soreness injury designation, this is probably a worst case scenario for that.
And here's a guy who, I mean, particularly in a playoff series that did not go well for the Grizzlies, they're playing the Death Star that was the Thunder. Like, he was one of the things really towards the end of last season who emerged, one of the things you could sort of be really hopeful and optimistic about. What is lost in losing Scottie Pippen Jr.?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things there. I mean, one of them is the uncertainty over Ty Jerome. And so there's a compound effect. It's sort of like the front court thing with Zach Edey and Brandon Clark, where there's a compound effect of, and we don't know what's going on with Jerome. We know he left the game with a calf injury. My operating assumption, and this is, both of these things are entirely unconfirmed, but my operating assumption, and until I hear otherwise, is that Ja Morant will play opening night and Ty Jerome will not. And that, I don't know what the Ty Jerome thing is going to be. Is it going to be a day-to-day thing? Is it going to be a week-to-week thing? Is it going to be something that's beyond week-to-week? I had no idea. Where I think we're all waiting to find that out. And so there's the compound effect of, like, you know, zapping the guard depth, which, A, that makes it harder to account for Ja Morant absences. It's going to put more onus on Morant to be on the floor. But even when he does play, A, you have weaker depth backup point guard play behind him, and you have less ability to play the multi-guard lineups with which everyone has talked about, and we haven't seen 1 second of in preseason. Beyond that, I think while Pippen was less established, certainly, than Ty Jerome or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you could argue Jalen Wells, he was the guy, and I made this point in one of my preseason columns, if you do a Venn diagram overlap of on-ball offensive juice and defensive juice, like, he's the player who was in the overlap. And maybe he's not as good as some of the other players who are more tipped one way or the other, but he was the guy who could give you both. He could give you scoring, and he could give you on-ball defense at the same time in the backcourt, and he was really the player best equipped to do both of those things at the same time.
Drum goes out with a calf, and I presume, do you imagine we'll get an update soon?
I got no control over that. I don't know. Yeah. I assume we'll, I mean, what happens, we're about to play regular season basketball. And unlike preseason, there are injury reports before every game for regular season basketball. And so there will be some kind of public injury designation, not only on Ty Jerome, on Vince Williams Jr., who's been missing preseason games, and on Ja Morant, who's missed all the preseason games. There's going to be injury updates or injury reports designations publicly on all of those players before we get, you know, dope. It may not come today. It doesn't have to come today. We'll see about that. But they do practice this afternoon, so maybe it'll come today.
Has he had a history of calf? And of course, with the calf, people then wonder about the Achilles. Like, you know, the calves are connected to that. I don't know how the anatomy works there, but that's a concern that people have.
Jerome is a guy who's missed games. He's missed a whole season with injury. And so there is injury stuff with him. You know, there are durability concerns that he brought in with him. And this is the kind of injury that is more of a durability kind of injury. And so, yeah, there are durability concerns with him. That's part of the thing. It's like, are the Grizzlies cursed? Maybe the Grizzlies also have a lot of guys who have durability concerns that are inherent to them. Ja Morant has inherent durability concerns. Brandon Clark has inherent durability concerns. Ty Jerome has inherent durability concerns. That's not necessarily the case with Scottie Pippen or Zach Edey, but with those other guys, it sort of is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, in fact, I recall Ty Jerome at the opening presser said, when asked why last year was better, it was like, well, I played the same way. I just was healthy last year.
Right.
That's what he said. But you're exactly right. The guys who have a history of getting injured are getting injured. And the guys who don't have a history of injured are getting injured.
That was like, also Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach Edey was indestructible, basically, in college.
Right.
And so, all right. So I think it's logical to imagine that certainly Scottie Pippen will not be there opening night, and likely Ty Jerome will not be there opening night.
Right.
So what's the rotation?
Well, I'm going to assume Vince Williams is up in the air. No one's talking about him, but he's missed games, and the ankle thing. They haven't said that it's a result of the ankle thing lingering, but I suspect it might be. So if you take him off the table too, I mean, I think Javon Small is going to be the backup point guard. Yeah. He's played so well in preseason. And so, I mean, the starting lineup we've been projecting is still the starting lineup we've been projecting, which is Ja Morant, Jalen Wells, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jaren Jackson, Jock Landale. The question is how you fit a bench behind that and how deep you go, given some of these absences. Santi Aldama is a given. I think Javon Small now is going to be a given. Well, that's seven, and so where do you go from there? I think Cedric Howard's going to play. That gets you to eight. And then you got a question of, like, who fills in and how many more? Do you go, you could go to eight. They're not going to do that. They could just play eight. Do you go 9, 10, 11, 12? And then you've got John Conchar. You've got G.G. Jackson. You've got the two-way bigs, P.J. Hall and Omax Prosper. You've got Cam Spencer, who now may push up the depth chart. And so how many of those five will play in a rotation? I think it'll be at least two, but it could be three or four.
Yeah, do you think Cam Spencer is how does he figure into this?
Well, I mean, he's a guard who can handle and shoot. And so when you take Ty Jerome, Scottie Pippen, and if you take Scottie Pippen, Ty Jerome, and Vince Williams all out of the mix, I think he almost has to see the floor.
Yeah. On Javon Small, what have we seen from Javon Small? It feels like he's a little bit, in the Jalen Wells situation. He didn't expect him to certainly get the minutes that he got, but then A, he's played well, but B, the opportunity. That's really what, as much as anything, drove Jalen Wells's the amount of time he got last year. What have we seen from Small so far?
He's been particularly good the last two preseason games in terms of his individual stat line. Now the team hasn't necessarily been good. And so you wonder about, you know, defensively with him as a small guard who's also a rookie. That's not a recipe for good defense, a small guard rookie.
Right.
He's made shots. Some days you make shots, some days you don't. When I saw him in person up close in one of the earlier preseason games, I didn't see a lot of pop with the ball by NBA standards. But that was also like a first game. It was his first game because he didn't play the first preseason game. And so I think he's acquitted himself well in the preseason, but it's preseason basketball. We put so much meaning into the preseason, and then the second the regular season starts, none of it means anything. Right. It just all disappears. And so who knows what he's going to do.
All right. So, as my dad would say, this is a hell of a note. but between the bigs and the point guard, like this is this confluence of injuries. Where'd you pick them to finish?
I mean, who cares where I picked them to finish? I picked them. I mean, I changed because.
What I was going to ask was, would you change again? In other words, does the latest spate of injuries change your expectations for the season?
Yeah, I think it has to. I mean, I don't see how it can't, but it's still the kind of thing. I mean, I had them in the play-in range, and so I don't, you know, I don't think that would necessarily need to change. It, obviously, the conference is strong, but you know, we're about to play basketball, and what will happen will happen, and so what we think will happen doesn't matter that much. I'm wary of the fatalist, defeatist sort of attitude about it. Like you got John Morant and Jaren Jackson, go win basketball games. Like, well, I mean, who cares? Like, go play. Your backup point guard's out. Boo-hoo. You know, you look around the league, injuries are happening everywhere. Right. Now, the Grizzlies do have a confluence of injuries and as such that may be greater than other teams. And in fact, it could lead to a hardship exception in the near future, which we could talk about if you want. But it's not like they don't have talent to play basketball against the Miami Heat and the New Orleans Pelicans and the Indiana Pacers. And so, to me, what this really means is that this whole season, to me, is a spotlight on John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., and now that spotlight gets there's even more glare on it. And so can those two guys, A, stay on the floor, and B, can they carry teams to wins? You're playing a regular season of basketball against mediocre teams. Go win. You get your two all-stars.
Right.
Like, the other guys playing on the floor are NBA players. Like, so you have your third-string point guard instead of your second-string point guard, or you have your third-string center instead of your
– right.
You can still go win.
Still win games.
And so I think
it's a hell of a lot better in the Indiana's where you're missing your all-star point guard all year.
Right. And so, you know, I think the question will be, can Morant and Jackson in particular stay healthy enough and play well enough to keep the team afloat, and then can the team coalesce and come together around them over the course of the season? Because none of these are season-ending injuries we're talking about. Zach Giddey might be back by Thanksgiving. That's not that long. Ty Jerome, we're talking like we don't know what's going on with Ty Jerome.
Could be back 2 days, right?
He could be back in 2 days. We don't know. The Scottie Pippen thing, it's going to be a while. The Brandon Clark thing is going to be a while, and I think you just can't assume anything from him. But like the Zach Giddey thing, you know, we'll see.
Hardship exception.
Yeah, and so the Grizzlies have been down this road before. If you have a certain number of players out for a certain number of games and then projected to be out for a certain amount of time going forward, you're allowed to sign temporary players to fill out your roster. It's typically, so it's four players out for at least three games and then projected to be out for 2 weeks going forward. And so none of this will matter. If it matters at all, it won't matter until you get into the second week of the season because you have to get three games under your belt. But we already know Zach Giddey's going to be out more than 2 weeks projecting out from there. And we know Scottie Pippen will be, and we know Brandon Clark will be. Well, that's three. And so what is the diagnosis with the Ty Jerome and or Vince Williams? If one of those guys comes back with a week-to-week designation, you could end up, like, you know, going to sign some guy off the street to add depth in week two.
On Vince Williams, as you point out, he's missed games. And then he also said, which was the first, like, surprised me at the opening presser, he said, asked what percent he was, he said 90.
Right.
He had a whole offseason, and I didn't,
I mean, it was an honest answer. You're supposed to say I'm 110% or whatever. And so he's just not. It's clear he's not. and you would worry on his behalf and the team's behalf too, but on his behalf, is we've seen this before, like guys get injuries and they just never get right again. I don't want to put this on him, but you go right through Grizzlies history, you know, Xavier Henry had a knee injury his rookie season and was never the same again. Jordan Adams had a knee injury his rookie season, was never the same again. This happens to guys that you just can't get all the way back to what you were physically coming off an injury. And I hope that's not the case with him, but the preseason has been a mixed bag with him. And then when he's played and they've held him out of two games.
Do you sense, I mean, you said there's this, you're wary of this fatalism. Do you sense fatalism? I mean, who knows? It's a, you know, what do you sense from a fan base? How do you know? But like what are you reacting to?
I think Memphis generally has gotten bad, and maybe this is me overinterpreting, you know, radio shows and comments and stuff like that. It's gotten bad about woe is me-ism. It's like the opposite, the other half of the coin of the pound your chest. Like to me, so I can see already, you know, the Grizzlies are cursed and you know, the team's going to move and all this kind of stuff. And like, I kind of hate that attitude about things.
Right. There's no question. I mean, what you hear a lot is, you hear this all the time. Well, what are they doing? Their doctors must not be good, or their training staff must not be good, as opposed to just looking around the league and seeing injuries literally everywhere, right? So, but my suspicion is that you see a lot of this anywhere. Like maybe it's not true, but in Buffalo, you know, I pay attention to Buffalo sports. They think they're cursed. Like I think there's a woe is me.
They're going to play New Orleans game one. Kevon Looney's out to start the season. Right. Who was their free agent, their main free agent signing, just like Ty Jerome was for the Grizzlies. They're going to play, I can't remember the order. They're going to play Miami, and Tyler Hero is out for like 2 months to start the season, who was their lone all-star last year. They're going to play Indiana, and we all know about the Tyrese Halliburton thing, right. But their backup point guard, TJ McConnell, is out for like a month to start the season. And you start going team by team, like Sacramento is going to start the season without two starters. Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray are both injured. And so I don't know if many other teams have three rotation players projected to be out multiple weeks who were not already projected to be that way. Like these aren't Jason Tatum, Tyrese Halliburton season, you know, you had the injuries last season carryovers. These are new things from summer going forward. And so there is that. And it certainly puts the Grizzlies in a situation where any more injuries would compound. And again, I think it really puts a spotlight on Ja Morant, who, by the way, has not played in the preseason, and Jared Jackson Jr.
In terms of the fatalism of they're gonna move, I mean, I've spent 2 decades pushing again. That started from the very beginning, right? Like there was that fatalism. It's not going to work. They're going to move, whatever, which was always preposterous. Right now, we are in a situation there. They've not signed a lease.
Right.
And it goes through 2029, and the money is there, such as it is. It's not as much money as they're having in Oklahoma City to build a whole new place, but the money is there, and they have not signed a lease. And I am concerned, not whatever. I think they're probably going to sign a lease, and I think what I actually think is going to happen is they're probably going to sign a lease or some kind of agreement. It will have some outs in it. It won't be ironclad. It will be... because you don't want to lash yourself to a city if you don't think the city can, you know, so it'll have outs in it and it'll be what it'll be. And the years will determine what happens next, I think probably is what will happen. But I am a little concerned that the team has at this moment decided to take sort of a sideways step, maybe a step back a little bit, which makes all the sense from a basketball perspective.
It's defensible. You could argue it's the wrong decision, but it's defensible.
Defensible. How that aligns with a decision about a lease on the team has concerned me, and I've said that before, that...
Well, you would... Whatever you think is the right thing for the team to do from a basketball perspective as they plan and build over years, and that's to be argued about, you want those decisions to be disconnected from the business decision.
Yes.
You want the basketball component to do whatever the basketball component thinks is right to do and not have, and I'm not saying that this will be the case, but publicly it'll be the case. It'll be, oh no, they can't, you know, even if some like blow it up was the right thing to do, and I'm not advocating for that, but it's a theoretical construct. Even if that was the right thing to do, you would have people saying, well, you can't do that because what will happen to attendance and blah, 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 blah. And I don't think the idea and that supporting a franchise has to be fully connected to the day-to-day on-court success. It's just not the way. This is pro sports. It's not college. You can't say, well, we should be good every year all the time, because you won't be.
It's also true that attendance does go up and down depending on how well a team does. I mean, that's just true. Like at a lot of places. I mean, you the better you do. Look at Nashville Titans right now. They don't draw well. And so
I don't think the Grizzlies have ever been top 15 in
attendance. No, they're always going to be low. Right. They're always going to be at the lower end. They're a poor, small city. They're always going to be lower end. I bet relatively, I don't know, the core 4 years were better than the bad years. Like, good years are going to be better attended than bad years. And so I certainly don't advocate that they should be doing what they should do in terms of basketball anyway. But here's my actual concern. If the attendance isn't great this year, even worse than usual, right? Will it be interpreted as, oh, Memphis can no longer support a team, or is it in fact some of the natural fallout of having 2 years ago a disastrously bad season because of injury, last year a disappointing belly flop of an end of a season, and this year a season that may not get off to a very good start, which is it would be natural then to see people struggling at attendance. So that's all. I do worry about the timing of these two things, that I think it's not ideal. That they could be entering a rebuilding phase. And what you would hope is that, honestly, what I would hope is that Robert Parra and the organization would say, let's just re-up. Let's do this and see how this plays out. I've got enough money.
Right.
We've got enough history here. Let's give this a chance to see where it's going. And they don't really talk about it, so I have no idea what their approach is to that. But I don't know. That is my concern. And I see their $7 tickets, available on StubHub for tomorrow night or Tuesday, Wednesday night.
Right. I just hope, there's going to be basketball, and I think John Morant will be playing. Jared Jackson will be playing. It's an NBA team. I just think from day one, I think the whole thing is interesting, and I hope people will be interested in it and not,
because I also can imagine, in terms of the good things that could happen this year, beyond the good things that happen on a nightly basis, you get to watch John Morant play basketball and Jaren Jackson Jr. play basketball. You can imagine this being a year where Cedric Coward emerges as a real important piece going forward, right? I mean, you can imagine coming. Here you go. You asked the question in the opening press conference. What are there things along the way that will make sure, I don't know how you phrased it, that will make sure?
To tease out the basketball decision this franchise has to make and what will drive that decision.
Right. And things that could happen along the way to make it feel like this, they're on the right course or what? I guess that would be the question. What are the things that the good basketball things that would suggest that could happen that would suggest this is on the right trajectory?
Well, if your idea is to rebuild a new contender around John Morant and Jaren Jackson, that begs two questions: the John Morant and Jaren Jackson question and the rebuild around question. And so you want to see things. It's not necessarily about the outcome this season, but it's about seeing things that gives you confidence on both halves of both parts of that question and their ability to have a confluence and come together. How much confidence do you have coming out of this season or in the season on John Morant and Jaren Jackson to be able to be leading players on a contending team, not just this season, but the next 2, 3, 4 years out? And do you believe that what you're building around them is coming together in a way that will come together in time for that? And that's the question. It's the question of your faith in John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. on a certain timeline that is not no longer in the vast distance.
Right.
They're 26 is not old, but it's not young anymore. And your ability to build either with Cedric Howard, with Zach Edey, with the pick you got coming from Phoenix. Again, can all that stuff come together in time to match up with Jaren and Ja? And to me, you have to evaluate both of those independently and then evaluate their ability to work together. And that evaluation has to be separate from all other concerns.
All right, so let's assume that the Jaren and Ja stuff looks fabulous. The most important pieces around them are Zach Edey and Cedric Coward?
Long term, not necessarily for the season, but that's yes, those are the things. Edie and Coward are the highest ceiling players in terms of both ability and potential role alongside John Jarrin. And I think, you know, that to me, that's part of what the season is about. Is can John Jarrin play well enough to sort of keep the thing together? And then you do you see things sort of coming together late in the right. season? And so, yeah, I think, and in terms of interest, like, I don't want to put too much on Coward. I've been clear about this. It's going to be ups and downs, and, you know, but I'm, in terms of as a basketball watcher, I'm extremely interested in watching sort of how the arc of his season and how it plays out.
I'm pretty hopeful about Jalen Wells too, like as a piece going forward. And you've talked about it this preseason. Like,
yeah, I would add him to that mix too. I know his athleticism is such that, you know, I Coward to me seems to have a higher ceiling, but Wells has established a pretty firm floor. He's still young. He's going into year two. And I've been very encouraged by what I've seen from him in the preseason. And so, yeah, I think, you know, this team has some injury issues out of the gate and the West is tough. It's an 82-game season. It's a long season.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. It's Chris Herning. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We've had a busy day. We had to adjust on the fly because coming off of a weekend that was fairly demoralizing in terms of local sports, I got the text/call from Jeffrey that he had a double flat tire. Do we have any further insight on what occasioned the double flat tire, Brad?
We just got an update. And
good.
You know, you can wave it, Jeffrey. I won't disclose the exact location because, you know.
Yeah, whatever. We don't. Right.
You know, there's a lot of strategy going on in town, apparently, and coordination.
Right.
But besides that, Jeffrey is roadside waiting for the tow truck.
Still?
At the at the intersection. It's on
it's
Poplar.
It's 10:40. It was 8:40. At 8, it's 2 hours.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is tough. You're in rush hour, sort of, in Memphis. I know it's not like Atlanta rush hour, but apparently they have to get the tow truck because he can't even drive on the said tire, and so that's the update.
But what happened to it?
I didn't give you the exact. I didn't do a good job on this. Road damage in the intersection where he ran into it. So, in other words, there was a prior accident. I actually see this a lot.
Oh, well,
like,
this is what happened.
It's shrapnel.
This is what happened to John Martin.
Oh yeah, there was something on the highway, John.
It was road damage.
And his car blew up.
It wasn't. I was speaking ill of potholes. It wasn't a pothole.
Yeah, no, it was just road damage.
It was debris.
Debris is probably the better phrase.
Sounds like
he wrote down road damage in the intersection there on Poplar. So if you have an accident, folks, try to get your stuff out of the road.
All right. So a couple things I want to talk about. Well, you know what? I said I would take calls. I don't know if anyone wants to talk about the Tigers because I have more things to say about the Grizzlies. But let's give them a chance. 445-0929, 445-0929. Because in our many years here, I have tried to be one show that allows people to either celebrate or vent, right?
And yes.
And so if you are a Memphis Tiger football fan and you want to vent, now's your moment. 445-0929, 445-0929. What the hell went wrong Saturday? And have you lost faith? Again, they got the big game against USF, a get-right game. Game day won't be here, but you can still be there. And so do you still have faith in the enterprise? Are you persuaded that one game will not define the season? Or are you demoralized, beaten down, and ready to be done with it somehow, psychologically? Again, if you have anything to say about that, we would love to hear, because we'd like to be here for you as a shoulder to cry on. 445-0929, 445-0929 is the phone number there. Do you imagine, again, people may... Mm-hmm. I was of the view, I've always been, this is true as a sports fan, that if my teams lose, I don't want to read about it, and I don't necessarily want to revisit it. But some are the opposite. Some are the type they want to get it off their chest. So I don't know if anyone is going to want to chime in here or not on the Tigers. But if you do, I want to give you the opportunity before I say the other things that I have to say about the Grizzlies, because it was an interesting back and forth with Chris Harrington about the Grizzlies and the state of the mind of the fans and everything else. 445-0929 is the phone number if you want to weigh in on the Memphis Tigers. And sure enough, some do. Who do we have?
We have Chris on line one for Jeff.
Chris, go, Jeff. What are your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Jeffrey.
How are you? Well, Jeffrey, sadly, is on the side of the road. This is Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, good to see you, too.
So, yeah, I'm definitely frustrated with the Tigers' loss. I couldn't believe it.
I could not believe it.
I really just thought that we were going to easily win and then go into next week undefeated and game day was going to be here. I was just ready for all of that.
Okay, so are you mad or are you just deflated?
Well, I'll be honest. I did have Memphis on a couple parlays.
Oh, no. And did you hit? Go ahead. Uh-huh.
I even did a live bet when they were down, like, oh, okay, I'll still add them to win money line. And they couldn't even just win.
Was Brandon Lewis still healthy when you made that live bet?
It was. So when
all right,
he
so here's
out,
what we're seeing here is that your financial interests and your rooting interests are merging here. It wasn't just pure Tiger love.
Right. Well, see, I was rooting for the Tigers to win. I was pretty much betting on game day. I even have Vanderbilt winning, and because I knew I needed Vanderbilt to win to get game day over here. So it just didn't work out.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445-0929. It is funny how he's mad, but he's madder because it cost him money. And that's the nature of the world today. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we have?
Brandon, who's new to the show. Brandon, go
Brandon,
ahead.
Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're good. What'd you think?
I am upset for being so defensive of Ryan Silverfield. I have defended Ryan Silverfield, and he continually to fail in the big-time moment.
Wait, so you've been a Ryan Silverfield defender over the years?
He has done well for the program. He has done well for the program,
yep.
And he does not deserve some of the heat he gets.
It is really a difficult place because he has done a good job, but he has not done everything you want him to do, right? Like let's be honest, he's not elevated the program. He's not kept the program where it was. But he has not done a bad job. All those things can be true, right? I mean, don't you think, do you agree with all those things?
And I agree. And I was to a point this year where things were going so well and so many big-time jobs were opening.
You were worrying.
I was worrying that he might get poached. But at the same time, I was telling fans of different schools, watch out because he has a tendency to lose big games. And it came back and bit me in the butt.
And what do you think went wrong this time? In other words... He loses some on the road, and then he'll lose. I mean, it is true. It's just these gut-wrenching. This is a little bit like Navy last year. It's further along in the season, but it's a little bit like I didn't see that coming, you know?
Like UTSA-ish?
Yeah, I don't know. What went wrong, Brandon?
I mean, you know, it's simple as looking
flat.
Forward to next week.
Yeah, no, it is.
Game.
Yep.
I
think that's
the team was rejuvenated by Chris Mortensen's son out there coaching them. You know, chalk it up to whatever.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's actually, if you want to, Alex Mortensen is Chris Mortensen's son, and he was the OC. It's not unlike the UCLA situation, honestly, where where he's elevated and all of a sudden you get this bounce back game. And Jeffrey did point that out, that that UAB could be in a position where they loathe Trent Dilfer's enough that they were going to get a big effort. They did get a big effort, and you wish that Chris Mortensen could have been here to see his son do what he did. But it was demoralizing, and there's no two ways around it. We'll hope, honestly. I mean, I think Saturday's game is still big enough on its own that you would hope that people who ordinarily who were planning to go won't decide not to go. In other words, the crowd should still be big, right?
Yeah.
And if they accomplish what they accomplish, we'll see who the quarterback is, whatever. Mm-hmm. It will still be a fabulous day, but not quite what it was supposed to be. All right. On to the Grizzlies. I found my back and forth with Chris to be really interesting. Chris is always interesting. Partly because I 100% agree with him on this point, that people in Memphis, but I think it actually you find it to be true also, think that when bad things happen to their program or their team or their franchise, it's uniquely them. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, FedEx Forum must be built on a haunted burial ground. I mean, on Indian, you know, yeah, Native so it's burial hexed ground, or so, yeah, right. Haunt hexed or whatever else. Right. Or whatnot.
Haunted, yeah.
Or a sort of woe is me fatalism. And you hear that all the time. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know, you look around and the injuries in the NBA are epidemic. I mean, how do you think they feel in New Orleans? Do they think, you know, do they think that Zion, is that because they were also built on an ancient burial ground? Right. Like, how do they feel in Indiana right now? Memphis is not the only team that is, been ruined by injuries. San Francisco 49ers right now, they're winning anyway, honestly. So I agree with that. I don't agree that like Chris is, this is to his credit, he is not a fan. You know, he doesn't think like a fan. And he's like, the game's interesting. It's fun. It's the NBA. So people will just come out and watch it because it's interesting and it's fun and it's
pro
the
franchise.
NBA.
Yeah.
And with all due respect, I don't think that's how it works. I think people are more inclined to go when they're winning. They're more inclined to go when there's some momentum, when they feel like they're part of something special. He's 100% right that Memphis has never been in the top 10 in attendance or top 15 in attendance. I don't think Memphis has ever been in the top half of the league in attendance because it's a small, poor city. But I'll tell you this, the playoff games were always bedlam.
Yes.
Back when it was the Core Four, and they were not bedlam when you had lost whatever they did, 10 out of the last 16 of the regular season, and then when you then had a historic blowout, 51-point blowout, I think it was, in Game 1, and then, like, people don't, in fact, just show up to watch a game because it's interesting and they're intellectually interested in the NBA. And so what I worry about, and it's coming from a place of concern, is I don't sense how does one sense these things?
Yeah.
But I don't sense much momentum for the franchise in the community right now. Do you? Like, I don't, in terms of heading into this season, I don't think the excitement is palpable. I think there is and maybe that's what he was reacting to, the fatalism, the doomsaying or whatever. But I don't, I think the fact that you never know if Ja is going to play, the fact of the injuries, the fact of the 2 years ago, you were basically paying to see a G League team, and last year the team collapsed. Yeah. And then I don't sense as much excitement heading into this year as I do other years. And the problem is that all the decisions about the lease and everything else are still out there. And then you throw in the fact that the National Guard, the task force, whatever it is here. And you might well argue, oh, this is going to be great because everyone's going to feel so safe and they're going to start coming back downtown again.
Yeah.
But maybe not. The history in Washington, D.C. is is that when the National Guard was there, people just didn't want anything to do with the whole mess. They're like, I think I'll stay home. And so maybe it means that people will, oh, this is a perfect time to go back to FedEx Forum. My suspicion is, and if you look at how the hoops for St. Jude ticket sales were going, at least originally, my suspicion is that no, more people are deciding, I think I'll just wait till see how this all plays out. And so, yes, I come at it from a place of concern because I don't think most people are wired like Chris Harrington in terms of the way that they think about the NBA team. It's not some abstract, it's interesting, and so I'll just go see because it'll be interesting. They want to see their team win. They want to be a part of something special. They want, and I don't sense a lot of that. I don't know. Where are you on this?
Yeah, I mean, my family lives near St. Louis. It reminds me a little bit of the Cardinals, except the Cardinals aren't leaving. There's not a lease component to theirs.
People aren't going to see Cardinals games.
But when I say they're not going, Jeff, I mean they are not going. Nobody is going
one
to
the
Cardinals
great
games.
Great legendary franchises, yes, with one of the great legendary fan bases of all time.
Yeah. The fans just said, we're not coming.
How the team does, and I'm sure their interesting baseball is played every day out there.
Yeah.
But
they're not going.
People like to see interesting winning baseball.
Yeah, and they've been conditioned to winnings, as we kind of have with the Grizzlies.
The point
the
that
years.
I want, I do, back to what I...
Yeah.
This team has Ja Morant on it.
Yeah.
And this team has Jaren Jackson Jr. on it. And Ja Morant is maybe the most thrilling American basketball player there is. Look at the reception in China for Ja Morant. He is a worldwide superstar.
Yep.
He is playing in your backyard and if he could put together 65 game season of good health and spectacular basketball,
that might flip it.
Goes a long way.
That could flip the energy.
Anyway, interesting discussion with Chris. We do hope that Jeffrey is going to get back on the road. If you see him out there,
wave to him.
Be kind, wave. This is where I ask what's coming up next, Brad.
Jeff, Jason, and John, J&J, are next with a full list of guests, including yourself at 125. If you want to get some more, Jeff, 125. We've got Jeffrey Wright & Company, Kevin Cerrito coming in, our trivia guy, and CJ Hurd at 3:30. Gabe is joined by David Cobb at 5 o'clock from CBS Sports.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for an hour. Work's done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.